I need your prayers. If you know how to pray this morning, I need your prayers. I need a little help from God and I need a whole lot of help from you. My flesh done what it wanted to do. I'd fold the book and go to the house. And we'd come to church back again when we wanted to come to church. And came for the right reason, the right purpose. Song of Solomon, chapter number 4 and verse number 1. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes within thy locks. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Mount Gilead. Thy teeth are like a flock of sheep that are even shorn, which came up from the washing, whereof every one bare twins, and none is barren among them. Thy lips are like a thread of scarlet, and thy speech is comely. Thy temples are like a piece of a pomegranate within thy locks. Thy neck is like the tower of David, builded for an armory, whereon there hang 1,000 bucklers, all shields of mighty men. Thy two breasts are like two young roes that are twins, which feed among the lilies. Until the day break and the shadows flee away, I will get me to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. Come with me from Lebanon, my spouse, with me from Lebanon, from the top of Amana, from the top of Shinar, and Hermon, from the lion's dens, from the mountains of the leopards. Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes, with one chain of thy neck. By the way, that chain was grace that God had put there. The only thing that we have that will ravish His heart is what He's given us already. We have nothing within ourselves that is comely. How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse? We love Him because He first loved us. That enables our love to be fair and to love Him. How much better is thy love than wine, and the smell of thine ointments than all spices? Thy lips, O my spouse, drop as the honeycomb. Honey and milk are under thy tongue, and the smell of thy garments is like the smell of Lebanon. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Now that amazes me that God would say that about you and I, that we are a garden enclosed, that we're a spring that is shut up, that we are a fountain that God has sealed. Let's bow for a moment of prayer. Ask God to quicken His Word and bless our hearts in the house of God today. Our Father, I bow this morning, Lord Jesus, to thank You for Calvary, for the wonderful grace that You provided for us in that place. Thank You for the shed blood of the Son of God, that blood that was given in atonement for our sin. And I'd pray and ask You this morning, Lord, to save sinners under the sound of my voice. That God, that You would show mercy, be merciful to those that are so undeserving, and save sinners by the good grace of God. Lord, I pray that You'll bind the devil this morning and overcome our flesh. And God, that You would give us liberty in the house of God. I have special needs, Lord, in my own heart today. I need God's power. I need the liberty that comes from the presence of the Spirit of God. You have liberated our souls. Now liberate our worship and give us that which we stand in need of today. Break our hearts because of our lack of spirituality and the depths of our poverty. I pray that You will look upon our hearts, reveal our sin, help us to confess it and get it right, that the blessings of God, the windows of heaven, may be opened and be ours. Speak in a divine way. We need to hear from God. Vain is the help of a man, Lord. We need to hear from the Almighty God this morning. He that ruleth and reigneth in the affairs of men, would you take time today to speak to us? And Lord, to pass by this way one more time, with grace, handfuls of purpose for every child of God. Rebuke, Lord, for every sin that may be prevalent in us today. Do give us grace and victories, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I'm sure you're aware of our text verse this morning, found in verse number 12. Is where Solomon said under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, a garden is enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. I want to try to take that verse of Scripture and preach for a little while on the thought this morning, as snug as a bug in a rug. That is exactly how I feel being cradled in the everlasting arms of Almighty God. As a boy growing up, when we'd get in bed at night, having very little heat in the house in the wintertime, we'd draw down under those quilts and comforters that Mama had put on the bed, and she never failed to ask us boys, are you warm? And our reply was, Mother, I'm as snug as a bug in a rug. Because we felt the warmth from the comforter. I'm so thankful this morning, church, that I feel the warmth from the comforter. Even in perilous times that we're living in, and this side of eternity is so uncertain, I'm thankful that the Bible still stands sure, and God's Word is forever settled in heaven, and that our eternal things are more secure than what temporal things are upon this earth. I'm glad that in 1970, when God sealed me by the Holy Ghost, I became a garden enclosed. I became a spring shut up and a fountain sealed by the grace of Almighty God. Our Armenian friends would ask us this morning, do you believe in eternal security? I tell you what I do believe in, my friend, is eternal life. For it's come that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. In fact, the biblical term is eternal salvation. I feel that in my heart this morning. I am assured of that from the Word of God this morning. The Holy Ghost has confirmed that to my soul this morning, that I am as snug as a bug in the rug, abiding in the grace of God. For I've got grace above me and grace below me. I've got grace on the left and I've got grace on the right. And I'm covered with the precious blood of the Son of God. I've entered into the Holy Holies and I dwell in the divine presence of Almighty God. Somebody said, preacher, are you afraid you might lose it? No, sir, I am as snug as a bug in a rug this morning. Some of y'all sitting out there and some listening by the radio probably got some doubts whether you possess eternal life. Can it be real? Is it real, preacher? Oh, I'll tell you, sure as this building we're in is real. Salvation, my friend, is real and it's forever. For the Ecclesiastes writer said, and whatsoever God doeth, He does that forever. God's made no mistakes and He never does anything on a temporal way, buddy. When God does something, it is done for all time and eternity. When God sets His decree, it's a said thing. God's law cannot be altered, and neither can God's Word be altered, my friend. I'm glad today that I am as snug as a bug in a rug, for God said that the church is a garden enclosed, we're a spring shut up, we're a fountain sealed, and we're sealed there by the good grace of Almighty God. Hallelujah. I might preach a little bit before it's over this morning, in spite of some of y'all. Some of y'all ain't smiled since you come in church. You ain't smiled since you come. I'd hate to think I'm saved and ain't got anything to smile about. Yeah, amen to God. I'm talking to you. You know exactly who I'm talking to. Bless God, I make no bones about it. You sit there with a snarl on your face and act like, bless God, you've been sucking on persimmons all day long. You couldn't smile if your life depended on it. I'm going to tell you why you can't. You don't have what I got, buddy. You ain't got all the assurance in your little heart that Brother Hall's got. Son, I can swing out over hell this morning on a corn silk and sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see you. I know that I know that I know that I've been to Calvary and been redeemed by the grace of Almighty God. And it'll be a cold day in hell when I let you in the world of the devil deprive me of the joy that God has given me in my soul. Amen. You want me to run that by you again? I said it'll be a cold day in hell. When I let you or anybody else deprive me of what's mine in God, I'm like Brother Nolan says, I'll square a place off up here, bless God, and take a little bit of liberty. Amen. That's what Ronnie Simpson said. Somebody asked him when he said, do you have liberty at Brother Allen's? He said, sometimes you got to take it. I feel like just taking it this morning. Then he talked about tithing this morning and said, Paul told them Corinthians, said, if you don't give, when I get there, I'll take an offering. I may just take a little liberty this morning if you don't give it. Bless God, been around long enough, I know how to take a little bit. I ain't talking about taking no offering either. Now look at that. I'm talking about taking a little liberty. Now notice in this verse, the Holy Spirit uses three metaphors to give some further commendations to His church. He's already been commending her as her love being better than wine and her ointments having a smell that is better than all the spices. He's told her how He's been ravished with the heart and the grace that He has given her. But He goes on to commend her. He says that you and I, that the church is a garden enclosed. Somebody said, preacher, what is a garden? A garden is a piece of ground distinguished and separated from all others for the owner's use. Hallelujah to God. I'm glad, my friend, that I have been separated unto God. And I have been placed there for the owner's use. Has it ever occurred to you that you're not your own? You've been bought with a price. And as the garden of Almighty God, you're there, my friend, for Him to enjoy. We want to run this thing to the hilt, talking about wanting to enjoy Him. But my friend, God wants to enjoy you every now and then. He has set you aside, enclosed you in, and sheltered you as a garden, and separated you from all other people of the earth, and that He may turn aside and to enjoy you and your fellowship. That ever occurred to you, friend? It's distinct. You're not like the world. Some of you acting like the world today. Some of you even got looks on your face like worldlings has got. Some of you may even smell like some of the worldlings I've smelled. But you probably saved. Huh? If you are, God has set you apart and distinguished you. I guarantee you, my friend, Brother Robert back there plants a garden every year, and he don't let his neighbor down the street just nonchalantly move over to his garden and pluck the fruit, pluck the vegetables out of his garden without a little bit of permission. Oh no, that's Brother Robert's garden. Now Steve plants a garden and plants watermelons. Now he gives the preacher a watermelon or two, but that's for his pleasure. Not my pleasure, not nobody else's pleasure. Now I'm telling you, my friend, the herbs and the flowers and the spices that God has planted in your heart, by the grace of God, He has planted it there. And not for your delight, not for the world's delight, but that Christ may delight in the new creation within your heart this morning. I want to say, secondly, a garden. The flowers and herbs and plants do not grow naturally, my friend, by themselves. They must be planted and cultivated by the owner. Now, I'm going to say something going to hurt some of you. You didn't get where you are on your own choosing. No, sir, we are like a tree. Listen now. that is planted by the rivers of water. Son, to be planted means that you have been placed there by divine authority. Somebody said, for a preacher, did it shock God when I got saved? Oh no, my friend. I hate to bust your bubble, but your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life way before the foundation of the world. And it did not occur to God, or it shocked God the morning or the night or the evening you got saved by the grace of God. You're planted there in that garden.
Amen.
You don't plant a garden like you sow grass seed.
Right. Right.
It's done deliberately.
Amen.
And set in rows.
Amen.
Then that thing must be cultivated.
Amen.
Some of you said, what in the world is God doing in my life right now? He may be digging around you a little bit. I'm getting ready to say it. I preached a message years ago on the thought digging and dunging. The Lord came to His garden in the book of Luke chapter 13, and He saw that there was a fig tree there that for 3 years... Everybody look right up here at me now. Don't get too quick to judge somebody, my friend, if they're not providing fruit like you think they ought to. There is a fig tree that did not bear any fruit for 3 entire years.
Amen.
And that fruit, by the way, was Israel. And I'm not going into that. They are barren.
Amen.
Yet today, and He hadn't cast them aside.
Amen.
But the Lord saw that and said unto the dresser of the vineyard, He said, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit of this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it to the ground? And He answered and said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. I'm telling you, my friend, in God's garden, when God plants a person in the garden of God, my friend, mark her down, He'll take time to dig around that plant and draw a little fresh dirt up to it. He'll take time to take the water out of the spring and the water out of the fountain and water that garden. He'll take time to put a little bit of that rotted up dirt and put a little bit of dung on that garden so that it might grow. Hallelujah to God. Now, I just thought about this. He said, leave that tree alone till I dig it and dung it. You know, dung don't smell too good. Be pretty unpleasant, wouldn't it? Be an unpleasant experience for a man to have to walk around with the smell of dung in his nostrils. Some of these unpleasant experiences you're having in your life just may be God dunging you a little bit.
Amen.
He may be, amen. And it may be the grace of God that you're where you are. Friend, God could have cut you off a long time ago and cut you into hell, my friend. But He saw fit to dig around you a little while and to dung you, my friend, that you might bring forth fruit unto God in His garden.
Amen.
I've got to hurry whenever you get through. I won't say a garden requires much labor. Huh? You don't ever raise a garden, friend, being a lazy person. You're going to keep the weeds out of it. See, weeds will overtake a garden. Weeds will grow where a tomato plant won't. You don't even have to plant weeds. They'll just come up, friend. They're wild. But every garden takes a man with a little diligence and a little labor to get in that garden. And to dig around it. And to dung it. And to prune it. And not only that, but to pick the fruit and put the fruit where it ought to be to preserve the fruit. That's what God does in your life. He digs around you and dungs around you till you show some fruit. And then he harvests that fruit. And God preserves it for Himself. It's not your fruit. It's God's fruit. Now I'm going to tell you, friend, nobody ever raised a garden without a little bit of sweat. It takes a few hours and a little sweat. Oh, son, but I tell you, after long hours in the summer, friend, when summer draws to a close and them green beans, my friend, are hanging on the vines, I'm telling you, they're blessed to our taste. Oh, yes, when those tomatoes get ripe, I like to put them on a sandwich with a lot of mayonnaise on them and have juice and mayonnaise, son, dripping off of my elbows. They're sweet to the taste. But it takes a little bit of labor to get us there. Now, I'm telling you that God has set aside time and work and labor on you. Let it not be in vain, my friend.
Amen.
Wonder sometimes if God ain't working on some of us in vain. Takes labor. God's working on you.
Amen.
God's working on me.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you what. The bad odor we're enjoying right now, and it'll get worse here at Christmas time. It always gets bad at Christmas. Folks get Santa Claus on their mind and shopping and trinkets and gadgets and gadgets and all this and that. Santa Claus, and that's right. And it always gets bad. We got everything on our mind but God.
Amen.
And we already in a rut.
So
I'm telling you, we're going to get worse for the turn of the year. I'm just telling you how it's going to be, my friend. But I'm telling you, in the bleak hours, when she gets dark, things don't seem to be going right. I'm telling you, you better look in there somewhere for the blessings of God.
Yeah.
I remember when Brenda's grandpa years ago told me, he said, go up there. My cabbage plants wasn't doing well. He said, go up there and get some of that rotted up dirt out of the hog rot. What he was saying, get some of that hog manure. Put around them cabbage plants. Now, I'm going to tell you what, friend. I had to work a while. I didn't like the odor. But a little while after the rain fell on that rotted up dirt, them cabbage plants began to grow. Amen to God. Somebody said, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying the labor that God's putting in on you. It may not be pleasant right now. Some of you are so discouraged. Bless God, you'd have to get on a stepladder to tie your shoes before you come to the house of God this morning. But I'm here. Somebody said, oh, my heart is disquieted within me. And my soul is cast down. God may have to humble some of our proud spirits. To get up low enough. To realize how high God really is. Before God can do a work in our life, friend. Amen to God. That's right. I want to say secondly now. He says that the church is a spring shut up and a fountain sealed. These, I believe, are both intended to be one and the same thing. A fountain may not put out as much water as a spring does, but they're both one and the same thing.
Amen.
I believe they're referring to the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That is, when one of them may refer to the Word of God. But if they do, one of them would refer to the Word of God and the other in the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Most writers believe that the spring shut up and the fountain sealed referred to the Word of God.
Amen.
I mean, to the Spirit of God. Somebody said, what are you saying, preacher? Oh, happy day. I'm a garden enclosed. I am a spring shut up and a fountain sealed. And happy day, I'm shut up with Jesus. Oh, my, what a wonderful thought, my friend. What security. I'm dwelling in the presence of God. That's snug and above in a rug. I'm living in the divine holy presence of Almighty God. Our soul as a garden is enclosed. Being shut up and sealed with the Holy Ghost. Now, friend, you can't improve on that. Living with Jesus.
Amen.
Living with the Spirit of God. And not just living with Him, shut up.
Amen.
Shut up with Him. As snug as a little old bug in a rug.
Amen.
The water supplies a believer with the growth. And as a garden enclosed, we're sheltered. We have got a canopy of grace over us. We are shut in. We are sealed up. And to give us assurance that there will be no intrusion from without. Can you get a hold of that? God's garden is shut up. God's spring is shut up. God's fountain is sealed. And it's not for our harm, but my friend, it's to keep out predators and to keep out intruders that would molest our peace and would destroy our prosperity. Oh yes, and deprive us of the richest fellowship with God. Now I'm going to tell you why some of y'all ain't having no fellowship right now. You've done jumped the fence, buddy. Like that little sheep that keeps jumping the fence. You've done jumped the fence and got out of your garden. Come on now, come on now. Anything that enters must enter by the owner's permission. Has it ever occurred to you that those temptations that you're struggling with this morning are there because He let them get in? You're a garden enclosed. You're fenced in, friend. You're sheltered overhead. There has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God will, with that same temptation, make a way of escape. I'm going to tell you that. Hey, some of you have given way to temptation. Somebody said, preacher, I am not sinning. Your mullygrub attitude is a sin. It's a lack of faith on your part. I'm going to tell you, my friend, when Jesus Christ said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly, and we live like the sun will never shine in the morning, we have denied the living Word of God in our heart. You're a God denier. Somebody said, I don't like that. It's a fact. There is no reason, friend. We are a garden enclosed. We're a spring shut up. We're a fountain sealed. We dwell constantly and consistently in the divine presence of God. And whatever is in your life is there because God has let it be there, that He might dig and dung around you a little bit. That's right, ain't it? That's right, ain't it? Hey, some of you in here wouldn't smile out of spite. You cut off your nose to spite your face. I'm not so sure a couple of you in here ain't got together and talked. Both got the same attitude, got the same countenance. It shows. Come on now, you holding our skin a little while. I'm going to tell you, that little old bitter spirit of yours sprang up and defiled many. Now, I'm going to tell you where God told me the problem in the church is. That's holding back the blessings of God, a whole lot of them right now. You want me to tell you? Huh? It's somewhere in the music. God is highly displeased. Somewhere in the music of this church. It's a constant plague. We can't get on the right note. We can't get started right. We can't stop right. We can't get in the right tune. It stuck its nose up almost consistently in the house of God. Somebody said, you've been blind to it, and I've just been waiting for the right time to pour it on you. Might be jealousy, friend. It might be. It might be sin in the camp in somebody's life. And if it's sin doing it, there ain't but about three or four places it can be, honey. I won't charge you a thing for that. I didn't start preaching yesterday, buddy. Are you listening to me? I say temptations are there because God allows them to be. I say the troubles are there because God allows them to be. We are a garden enclosed. We're a spring shut up. We're a fountain sealed. And those troubles that you're experiencing this morning are there in your life because God has allowed them to be there, that He might use them to dig and dung around you, that you might bring forth fruit unto God Almighty. I say the trials are there because God allows them to be there. We're a garden enclosed. My sister, my spouse, a spring shut up and a fountain sealed. Are you listening? Now, we are secretly sealed. Listen now. We are secretly sealed with Christ in the bosom of God. Can you get a hold of that? We are secretly sealed with Christ in the bosom of God. Secretly, I said. Sealed. Somebody said, why is it secretly, preacher? Colossians 1, I think 2, 3. Brother Paul said, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Amen. Oh, happy day. Yeah. A garden enclosed. A spring shut up and a fountain sealed, Brother Way. All that mess you went through, Brother Way, God allowed her to be there.
Amen.
Has a garden enclosed. Somebody said, Brother Hall, it ain't helped much. Oh, I've noticed a big change in Brother Wayne in the last few weeks. A little bit of digging, a little bit of dunging does wonderful things. Every now and then when God drops the hedge and lets the devil have his way, it does marvelous things in the life of a child of God.
Amen.
Huh? Our life is hid with Christ in God, friend. We are residents together.
Amen.
Somebody asked me the other day, said, where do you live? I said, well, I said, I live down on Island Ford Road, but my residence is in heaven.
Amen.
Amen to God. That's right. Three things about this snug as a bug in a rug, and we're going to the house. I'm going to say, number one, that has a garden enclosed, a fountain sealed, and a spring shut up, that we're preserved there by the Father.
Amen.
I said preserved, buddy.
Amen.
Somebody said, you don't sound very Armenian. I'm not.
Amen. Amen.
How can my life be hid with Christ and God and be an Armenian?
Amen.
By the way, you and I don't even know where that's at. Our life is hid with Christ and God, ready to be revealed at His appearance. I don't even know where my life is. That's wherever Jesus is at. My life and Christ are in the bosom of God. And my life is hid there, friend. I'm as snug as a bug in a rug there. Somebody said, what if we have 4 more years of gore? Well, bless God, what if we do?
Amen.
That doesn't alter the Bible one bit.
Amen.
Doesn't alter the Bible if Gore becomes president. It's not going to alter the Bible if Bush is president. It's not going to alter the Bible if Hussein lives, if Hussein dies. It ain't going to alter the Bible what Russia does and what they don't do. I'm here to tell you we serve a thrice sovereign God, my friend, who set decrees before the firmament of the heavens ever was, and they shall not pass beyond God's decrees. Your problem this morning is you're serving a little God. Are you listening? I'm preserved by my Father. I'm as snug as a bug in a rug. Number one, He hedges us in. Remember what God told to Satan? When the sons of men come, the sons of God come to present themselves, and Satan come in their midst. And God said, have you considered my servant Job down there? And Satan said, does Job really fear God for naught? And here's what the devil said now in the Word of God. He said, hast not thou made a hedge about him?
Amen.
Somebody said, oh, I'm glad, thank God, I've got a hedge about me. Honey, it's deeper than that. We want to stop there and talk about the hedge being around Job. But it goes far more. It's far deeper than just being around Job. For it goes on to say, and about his house, oh, blessed be God. Son, that ought to make a dead Presbyterian shout. That son, when God saved your wretched soul, He not only put a hedge about you, my friend, but God put a hedge about your house. And the devil can touch nothing in your household unless God allows it to be there. Amen. I like it, Brother Wayne. We're as snug as a bug in a rug.
Yes.
We are children of the covenant.
Yes.
We belong to the Most High God of heaven and earth.
Yes.
I'm His and He's mine. He set my seal, His seal to me.
Yes.
And I belong to God.
Yes.
What about that now?
Amen.
The devil said, you want me to get him? Said, you put a hedge about him and his house. All of his children, his wife. I'm going to tell you something. I believe in this thing about headship now of the household. I don't know everything they ought to know about, but I'm learning a few things. But I'm going to tell you what, it's hard for a woman to be right. It's got a head that's a spineless little wimp. Little panty waist. Someone said, I'll give that to you. Go ahead. I'm not talking about that. It don't take a man to mug around, thug around.
Amen.
Bunch of Democrats down there in Florida. 100 Republicans standing outside a building chanting a little old theme, and they wanna get on and talk about how that the protesters intimidated the counters and they couldn't count the votes. They didn't say a word when Jesse Jackson, that communist NAACP black man from America, run 10,000 of them in the street and raise hell all over the state But that was peaceful protest. Peaceful, my eye. They must have forgotten, son, the years of 1966, 67, and 68 when Martin Luther King burnt half America down. I don't know about you, but I'm fed up to hear with that mess. I'm charging nothing for that. That's free. But even in all that, God's got a hedge about me and God's got a hedge about my house. And not only that, but the Bible goes on to say, and about all that He hath on every side.
Amen.
When was the last time you looked on your right hand and on your left? Brother Wayne's worried about that old truck, that old yeller job. God's got a hedge about Big Yeller, Brother Wayne.
Amen.
Take care of Big Yeller.
Amen.
Got a hedge? Somebody said, how? It's His possession.
Amen.
God has got a hedge about your person, about your possessions, and about your prosperity. Even the way you prosper in this life is hedged in by God, and the devil can do nothing about it unless God allows him to do so. I'm as snug as a bug in a rug. Strut my stuff, boys. That guy with that white hair used to do that in wrestling. I've done a little wrestling myself.
Amen.
Only I've been wrestling with principalities and with powers.
Amen,
amen to God. Now I'm going to tell you something. I come out on top. Amen to God.
Amen.
Because my big brother crept in the ring. They didn't see him.
Yeah.
But he crept up in the ring with a foreign object. It's foreign to the devil and his crowd.
Amen.
It's an object called grace.
Amen.
And my God smote the devil with an object of grace.
Amen.
Oh yeah, the victory was mine. And by grace, I said again this morning.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm going to say our person, possessions, and prosperities.
Amen.
Listen now. Are under the Father's jurisdiction of power.
Amen.
All power is given unto me in heaven and earth, Jesus said.
Amen.
And everything that we have is under His jurisdiction of power. The devil don't have a thing to say about it.
Amen.
He's a hard-lipped wimp.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Now I'm going to say number two, not only preserved Him by the Father, He hedges us in, but He holds us in His hand. What can I say? Are they gone? So the devil pick his nose. God say, now eat it. So what can he do? He eat it.
Amen.
Are you listening? He holds us in His hand.
Amen.
You know what Jesus said in John 10? I love John 10,
yeah.
Don't you? You know what He said in John 10? He said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. I know them and they follow me. And He said, and I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my power, out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And then He said, hey, for the record, I and my Father are one. Now, I'm going to tell you something, fellas. I saw something in there I've never seen before in my life. Son, I like to have done a double back flip. Let me see if you get this.
Amen.
My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all.
Amen.
My Father, which gave them me.
Amen.
He didn't say, my Father, which gave them to me. He said, my Father, which gave them me.
Amen.
You got it, ain't you, Jerome?
Amen.
Now listen to this. He said in John 17:6, He said, and have manifested Thy name unto them which Thou gavest me out of the world.
Amen.
Now we're in the Father's hand. If I understand what Jesus is saying there, Jesus is saying, my Father gave them me.
Amen.
Son, the day I got
Amen.
Saved. Woo! You're talking about being as snug as a bug in a rug. Hey, 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 hey. God said, Gary, here is my gift to you, and His name is Jesus. I'm glad God gave Jesus to me. Hallelujah to God. I may snug get a bug in a rug, for He is mine. Now get this. Get this. And then Jesus turned around and said, Father, them that Thou gavest me out of the world, God give him to us, and God gave us to him. Miss Sharon, it is no wonder that Solomon said, my beloved is mine, and I am his.
Yeah. Amen.
Hey.
Amen.
Yeah.
Are you liking that, Chib? I believe you are the way you're smiling, buddy. I like to see that smile. God gave Jesus. You're His. He is yours. And I don't want to sound irreverent, but you own Him. He's yours. He is yours to use, to love, to be blessed by. Not only that, He gave you to Him. So you're His. You've been bought with a price. You're not your own. You're His, and He's yours. Oh, my. Now, let me tell you something, friend. Are you not snug as a bug in a rug there? Then why get all alarmed and all bent out of shape? We're hedged in by the Father, and we're held in the Father's hand. I'm going to say, besides all that, the Father preserver, He hovers over us.
Amen.
I feel like a novice this morning. Somebody said, what do you mean, Brother Hall? He hovers over us. You know that night down in Egypt land? God told old Moses, said, you take the blood of that little old lamb, said, put it on the doorpost and the lintels of the house. And in verse number 13 of chapter 12, He said, and the blood shall be unto you, shall be to you a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. I'll hover over you. Snug as a bug in a rug. Pardon the expression, but while all hell was breaking loose in Egypt, when the Pharaoh and all of his people had experienced the plague of sin that brought death, there was peace and tranquility in the house of the believers, my friend. He said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And He said it for this reason, that the plague shall not come upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. You know what that plague is, friend? That's the plague of sin. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm as snug as a bug in a rug, son, because God is a hovering over me. Why is He hovering over me? Because the blood has been applied. Oh, yes, sir, my friend. And I'm protected there by the shelter of the blood of the Lamb. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm protected from the plague of sin. I'm going to tell you what sin does. It kills. Adam died. Cain died. Firstborn in Egypt died.
Amen.
Why, friend? Because the plague of sin.
Amen.
Wages of sin is death. I want to ask something for you. You got the blood applied?
Amen.
You got the Father. Are you preserved by the Father?
Amen.
Don't nobody leave me now. I'll be done in just a second if you'll stay right with me. Not only are my snug as a bug in a rug because I'm prospered, because I'm preserved in the Father, but I'm as snug as a bug in a rug because I'm prospered by my faith.
Amen.
I prosper by faith.
Amen.
Somebody said, now, preacher, you getting for? Oh, no. You know, when it came down for the Lord to die on the cross, and His disciples had been following Him for 3.5 years, here's what the Lord said to Peter, and I've preached from this several times and quoted it, and you've heard it. The Lord said, and the Lord said, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon. Didn't say Peter. He didn't use his spiritual name, a rock. He used his old nature name, Simon. And he doubled it, Simon. Said, Simon, you've got a whole lot more flesh about you than what you think you have, son. You're not nearly as spiritual as what you are. Oh, Simon crowed up in the next verse or two and said, I'm ready to die with you. That's about where some of us are this morning. Oh, we're tough, buddy. Till the devil turns loose on us. But He said, Simon, Simon, behold. He said, listen, Simon, I'm getting ready to tell you something. He said, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat.
Amen.
But I have prayed for you.
Amen.
That thy faith fail not.
Amen.
And He said, and when thou art converted, Peter, strengthen the brethren.
Amen.
Now somebody said, well, did Peter really prosper by his faith? Jesus said, I prayed for you that your faith will not fail. He prayed the same prayer in John 17. Hear me again, Armenians.
Amen.
Your faith cannot fail because the Christ of our faith, the perpetrator of our faith, has prayed to God that our faith would not fail.
Amen.
Not even in Satan's sieve, not even in trouble. Somebody said, preacher, what am I really saved? Have you been able to hold up under troubles and pressures and temptations and trials? Have you added to your faith virtue and to your virtue knowledge? Have you added all them things to your faith?
Yes.
If these things be in you, you shall never fall. Now I want to show you something. Sometimes I wonder if we're not a little too quick to look at somebody's life and judge them whether they lost or saved. I say that honestly. Now don't leave me. Somebody said, preacher, what do you mean? Because in the very next sequence in Luke chapter 22, you know, and pray and I'll come again. He said, you pray that you enter not into temptation. When he came back, he found all three of them disciples asleep and Peter was among them. We find Peter sleeping in his prayer. Had Peter's faith failed? Son, I'm telling you, it's not necessarily. My friend, how you run in the middle part of your race, it's how you get started and how you finish your race that's going to count with God. You might get weary in the battle, son. You might get weary along the way. You may grow tired and troublesome from the onslaught of the devil and the constant fight with your flesh and the ungodliness in the world. I don't know about you, but I'm so sick of this mess around me, buddy. I'm ready to go home and be with God. But there was old Peter sleeping. I tell you, it even goes further than that, and I want some of you to listen. We say, well, if they're caught out with the wrong crowd, they're probably lost. And 99% of them are. But in the following sequence, not only is Peter asleep in prayer, that Peter is found sitting among the wicked.
Amen.
They built a little fire, and I'm going to tell you what the Bible said. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them.
Amen.
Right amongst that devil's crowd. Warming his hands around the devil's fire. Don't sound like Peter's got much faith. Man just said, Lord, I'll follow you to death. Peter, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sit you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, Peter, strengthen thy brother. I'm going to tell you, Jesus had more faith in him than what Peter had in himself.
Amen.
He said, when thou art converted, Jesus had full assurance that Peter would overcome it. I'm going to tell you, some of you in here this morning, something like you've lost your life, act like your mother-in-law has moved in to stay, and you act like you've lost it all. But I'm going to tell you something, and act like you don't have an ounce of confidence and no faith, but I'm going to tell you, Jesus got more faith in you than what you got in yourself, friend.
Amen.
If you genuinely His, you ain't snug, you're the bug in the road, my friend. The troubles and the trials and the temptations are in the garden because Christ has dropped the hedge and let them there.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? Amen to God.
Amen.
Somebody said, well, where did Peter overcome? Read 1 and 2 Peter. I find him sleeping in prayer, sitting with the wicked, and you ought never to sit with the ungodly.
Amen.
That's some of his problem in here right now. You want to build a fire with that crowd out in the world and hang around that bunch of worldlings, and you can't be spiritual hanging around carnal
Amen.
People.
Amen.
Can't be. I'd shun that crowd like they got measles, chicken pox, mumps. That's right. Leprosy. They got leprosy.
Amen.
Leprosy, did you know that it's spreading? That's why they shut them out of the camp.
Right.
Sin's contagious, friend.
Amen.
It'll latch hold of you a long time before you latch hold of them. Stay away from that crowd. Leave them alone. Shun them.
Amen.
Fellowship with God's people. But we find Peter sleeping in prayer. We find Peter sitting in the by the fire of the wicked. And I'm going to tell you, read 1 and 2 Peter, you know where you find him? That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings,
Amen.
Being made conformable unto his death. I'm going to tell you where you find Brother Peter, not sleeping and not sitting, but you find him suffering with Jesus.
Amen.
The highest level of faith that a man can achieve to, my friend, is to suffer a death of a martyr. And Peter was crucified upside down. They went to crucify him, Robert. And he said, I'm not worthy to be crucified in the manner of my Lord was, but crucify me upside down because I'm not worthy to be crucified in like manner. You find him suffering, son. I'm going to tell you what. Somebody said, what are you getting at, preacher? I'm saying his faith prospered him, buddy. He hit some bumps in the road. He hit some snags. He hit some difficulties. He might have got bent out of sorts. He might have been halfway overcome. But I'm going to tell you, he never fell and he never caved in and never gave in. He kept on serving God. I'm going to say the third thing and I'm closing. I believe Brother Steve back there like this. I'm as snug as a bug in a rug because the Father hath preserved me. I'm preserved in the Father. I'm prospered by faith. You get a hold of this now. Don't nobody lose this. This is the best point out of all of them. I'm serious. I'm predestinated in the future. Oh, somebody said, preacher, I just don't believe in predestination. You're lost. I didn't say you was predestinated to be saved. I'm talking about my sister, my spouse. I'm talking about a believer. I'm talking about the church, my friend, being like a garden enclosed. Like a spring shut up. Like a fountain sealed. Son, once you get in Christ, you are predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. The future's in your favor. You can't get out of it. God has said it, and let every other man be a liar. Let me read it for you. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate.
Amen.
To be conformed to the image of His Son. Son, when God saved you, you became predestinated to be conformed. You may kick, wiggle, you may want off of the potter's wheel, but friend, come what may, Christ is going to conform you to the image of the Son of God. Now get a hold of this, and I'd never noticed this before. And He's not doing it for your benefit and blessing. For the very next word says, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. You know why God is conforming you to His image? Not for your benefit, friend, but for Jesus. That He might be the firstborn of many brethren. Hallelujah! Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. We are called, justified, and glorified. Somebody said, oh, we're not glorified yet. Maybe not in your little eyeball, but in the eye and the mind of God. Them that God called, God justified. And if we're justified, we're already glorified. Son, it's a done deal. We are seated in heavenly places in Christ. Can you get that a hold of that this morning? And a lot of times we quit reading right there. But I don't like to. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us, Brother Mark? Who can be against us? Who can withstand the hand of God? Who is mightier than the Almighty? Who is stronger than the strongest? Who is more powerful than the all-powerful? Who is wiser than the wisest? Who can love more than He that loves supremely? Huh? Who can give more than what He's already given? Who can do more than has been done, my friend? Who can change what has been decreed by a sovereign God that rules in the universe? He goes on to say, He that spared not His own Son but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? All them questions. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is He that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Won't you answer those questions? I'm as snug as a bug in a rug, friend. I have been predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. You can't get around it, over it, or out of it, friend. Somebody said it. Because God has decreed the thing. That is a decree of God. Do you think God's going to alter what God has said? Not for you, me, or anybody else, friend. Nobody else. Let God be true. Let every man be a liar. God hath said it. And thus it shall be, friend. If the Medes and the Persians' law could not be broken, how much more the Word of God? By the way, it's forever settled in heaven. I mean, God spoke it. God has spoken it. It's written down. It is there. And it cannot be altered. Angels cannot alter it. The devil can't alter it. Wicked men can't. Somebody said, "Preacher, it looks to me like it's going sour." No, it looks to me like it's going real good.
Amen.
Getting everything ready to check me out.
Amen.
I want to say that in the future, God has predestinated. It's God's decree. It's not only God's decree, but it's God's duty. God saved you. It is His duty to perform that which He has started. And you know, lastly, and I'm closing, it's God's delight.
Amen.
He just loved to take old sinners and lift them out of the miry clay. He loved to take old drunks off the bar stool and work on them. He likes to get harlots out of the whorehouses and drunks out of the bars.
Amen.
He likes to get thieves.
Bad
people. God loved to get them and put them on the wheel of grace and just start shaping and molding them. And every time the devil comes by and says, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm just shaping up another trophy of grace."
Yeah.
"Well, God, I'm going to spoil that trophy of grace." "Oh, no, you can't." "Well, why not?" "Well, he's a garden enclosed.
Yes,
he's a spring shut up. He's a fountain sealed."
Amen.
"Well, I'm going to try to get in there." That's what God said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And the devil said, "You know you've got a hedge around him. You know the devil's just been out there walking around looking, trying to find a hole in the fence." But I'm going to tell you what, friend. There ain't no holes. You won't find a hole in grace for the devil to creep through. Oh, he's a creep all right, but he can't even get low enough to creep through that fence, friend. We're a garden enclosed. We're a spring. Shut up. And we're a fountain sealed. Now, all that is the inward workings of God. In a couple of weeks, we're going to look at what happens when God lifts the seal and lets that spring and that fountain become like streams in Lebanon. Are you listening? There's not only an inward working of the Spirit of God, but there's an outward working as well. Our great God, how great He is. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder, how's that go? Somebody help me. Have made. I hear His voice. I hear the rolling thunder. I wish I knew the words to it. Everybody then sings, "My soul, my Savior God, to Thee, how great Thou art, how great Thou art." Then sings, "My soul, my Savior God, to Thee, how great Thou art, how great Thou art." Every head bowed and every eye closed. Nobody looking around this morning. Song of invitation, if you don't mind. God's spoken to your heart. Are you worried? Are you weary? Are you heavy-hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you grieving over sins departed? Tell it to Jesus. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Are you worried this morning? You're a garden enclosed. You're a spring shut up and a fountain sealed. And that seal, look here, just like the seal that was set upon the tomb by an earthly monarch, and it was broken by the angels of heaven. But no angel of heaven, neither no earthly monarch, will ever break the seal that God has put upon us. We are sealed by our God, just like the 144,000 in the book of Revelation is sealed in their foreheads by the Spirit of God. We are sealed. Our soul is sealed this morning. The garden enclosed. Spring, shut up in a fountain sealed with my sister, my spouse, my love, and thou hast ravished me. No wonder she cries in the verses below, blow, thou north wind, and come thou south. Blow upon the spices. Let the spices of my garden flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden, that he may enjoy the spices thereof. Is he enjoying your spices this morning? Does he enjoy what's going on in your heart? Is he feasting on the riches of his grace that has worked in your heart and your life? That's what he desires. He wants to come into his garden, into your life, and to feast there. To delight himself in the riches of his grace as they're manifest in you. Heavenly Father, thank you for the morning hour. Bless thy word to every heart. Speak to souls. Move us today for thee and give victory over sin in our lives, negligence. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. What is that verse, Brother George? 289 this morning. 289. Let's sing right out in there.